OG Podcast Network presents.
Welcome to Fireside. First off, welcome to Fireside. We'll be talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes. Already lasted longer than Firefly. Stay tuned, Mindy's got the creepiest news. From books to TV, the movie reviews. Plus the next toy, baby, here we choose. Even the superhero fight club, we usually lose. So pop in those earbuds, turn up those speakers. Feel Mama's power, Earth 2 with features. And either listen by weekly or you can binge us. We got it all, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back as we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show. This is Fireside Chats.
Hello, hello, hello! Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Menti, and with me, as always, are some of my sidekicks. First, Mr. P Features.
Hello?
P Features.
Hello, Internet.
P Features.
Hello, Internet.
Oh, there he is. All right, yeah. No, Features is still gone. He's still with Late Shift with his growling voice. I think they're just sitting in a room quietly growling at each other. Then you got Baby Huey.
Let's go.
Did you just hit the mic?
He did.
No, you didn't. You just headbutted the mic.
I did not.
Baby Huey headbutted the mic. That's what that sound was.
No, he went.
Oh, yeah.
Just testing out the pop filter there, Baby Huey. All right, then there's Maurer.
Beep you, Baby Huey.
Wow, you had some real, that was a guttural one.
Just angry all the
that
time.
That had a lot.
You gonna growl?
Is it weird I'm turned on? Oh, I should have said that.
No.
I'll see you later.
All right. I didn't have plans, but now I do. All right. Welcome to the Saturday show.
Totally different than the Wednesday show.
Definitely. I'm still loopy because we record these back to back. So, yeah, not much has changed. And I'm not.
Minty's ready.
Yeah, right. I'm a little out there today. That's okay. That's okay. I'm deprived of calories and sleep and all sorts of things. So I'm here.
Sounds like a personal problem.
It is.
Smell some cookies.
I completely agree. I was going to say disagree, but I don't. I agree.
You do agree.
Anyway.
So if I lit the hot apple pie candle.
Dude, I want that hot apple pie candle. I want to eat it. Give me a spoon.
What's different about the Saturday show than the Wednesday show, Baby Huey?
We don't talk about the new news.
The nude news?
The nude news.
That's what Maurer and I are doing later.
Yeah. Got you for 1 minute of plate time. It's going to be a freak show.
Yeah, I love that you called yourself a Minute Man. Oh, that was a bone saw Spider-Man 1 reference for anybody unaware. Okay, yeah, let's speak of Spider-Man. So today what we wanted to do is talk about, as we said last time, so last week I got really mad at the fact that we did a Spider-Verse issue because that Spider-Verse is just terrible.
Yeah, you did.
But we do want to talk about the new Into the Spider-Verse Spider-Man movie coming out by Sony, which should come out next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie, I'm very excited for it. I mean, right now it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes with like 60 some reviews, which isn't bad. It doesn't look bad. I'm excited for the Spider-Verse world. As long as it doesn't follow the stupid Spider-Verse comic and give me something new that's Spider-Verse related, I'll take it.
Disclaimer on that. However, they haven't pulled up the restrictions, so you only can release positive reviews right now on it.
It still looks good, though.
Looks good. I get for this movie, I get excited, and I see another trailer, I go, oh, maybe I'm not excited. Then I see another trailer, and I'm excited.
Yeah,
then I see another one, I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not.
Every time they do a new trailer, I get happier about it. But what's interesting about this is that it is going to focus around Miles Morales, and Miles Morales is the ultimate Spider-Man. What we would do on today's episode is to make sure that you're all aware of who these spider folk are.
For you guys, did he really start off wearing like a Halloween Spider-Man costume?
He did.
He actually started off wearing Spider-Man's costume and people got real mad.
No, really?
I thought it was a costume he bought at the store.
Yeah. Spider-Man costume.
But it was like a Halloween story is what I'm
saying.
Yeah. And then I forget, an actual superhero, I forget who it was, came up to him and was like, it's a little disrespectful to be wearing.
It was Spider-Woman.
Yeah. Jessica Drew.
And she took him to go meet Fury.
Yeah. So like that's when he got his own costume because he was trying to be the next Spider-Man and people were not having it.
Yeah. Fury actually gave it to him.
Okay.
Fury's
got good taste in costumes.
Yes. Dude, Miles' costume is
I love that costume.
Super dope. I mean, I don't know how I feel about this movie version of it.
the spray painted logo on the
chest. Yeah, I kind of like the jacket and the shorts with the Jordans
on it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like that look.
So I'm in a bunch of like action figure groups online.
Of course you are.
And there's a guy who reproduced the movie costume in action figure form, and it looked amazing.
You know what? It reminds me of like when Homecoming, and he had the yellow jacket on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like it's got the same appeal.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely, it does. With the headphones and the yellow jacket, and this one with the hood up, and it's. I mean, I like that look. I bought that costume in Future Fight for anybody still playing that game.
No. The three of you.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do is we wanted to break down. First, we're going to talk about the Peter Parker from this world. So Peter Parker of Into the Spider-Verse, who's a little different than the Peter Parker we know. Then we're going to talk about Miles Morales, Gwen Stacy. Then we're going to talk Peter Parker, Spider-Man Noir, Penny Parker. And am I missing somebody? That's it.
That's it.
Spider-Gwen?
I said that. All right. So let's, because this will be real quick. So let's talk about Peter Parker. So we all know Peter Parker because that's Spider-Man, right? That's the one we know
and
love.
Peter Parker has a few really fun facts.
Yes. This is a very old, grizzled Peter Parker.
Not the fun fact.
He's 40 years old.
That's also not fun.
He's a little depressed.
Still not fun.
He's divorced.
Nope.
Because Mary Jane and him were arguing whether or not they should have kids.
Not fun.
His face.
All right, say the fun part.
It's a combination of our three movie Spider-Men.
So this is what happens to our three movie Spider-Men in the future, is they all become depressed, lonely 40-year-olds who
Well, Tom Holland's got to deal with Sony pulling him back from the MCU. The other two had their movie.
Andrew Garfield had to deal with Sony. Yeah.
And got his movie franchise ruined and canceled.
And Tobey Maguire did three. So, you know. Yeah.
But then he turned goth and started dancing. So That was three. Mm-hmm.
That was three.
That's the reason why he doesn't want kids. They're going to be like me one day.
So, yeah, this Peter Parker is a little disheveled, right? So life's not going so grand for Pete. Which kind of makes sense moving into Miles' story. So in the Ultimate Universe, Peter dies, spoiler alert, and Miles wants to take up the mantle of Spider-Man, as we were just talking about. And in the original trailer, you'll notice that he's looking at a gravestone that said Peter Parker. So the rumor was for a while that the disheveled Peter that we just talked about was going to die at some point in the movie, but it looks like they're going to stick a little truer to the Ultimates comics origin where Peter dies.
Speaking of the Ultimates comics, do you remember how mad people were?
Oh, I was mad.
When Peter died in it?
I was mad. Because I was absolutely mad.
I don't know if everyone listening knows this. The Ultimate world, their one rule they made when they created it is deaths matter here.
Yep.
So if people die, they died until Peter Parker.
Yeah, because the backlash was, and you know what? To be very honest with you, if they didn't break that rule, Miles might not be popular right now. That would have been the end of Miles if they didn't break that rule, because fans were livid.
Yes,
and I, you know, Miles has become a staple.
I stopped reading the comics because of it.
A lot of people,
really,
a lot of people.
That's the reason why I stopped was they killed Peter.
Because for a lot of people, Peter is Spider-Man. I'm not reading Spider-Man for a guy who shoots webs. I'm reading for Peter Parker.
Well, and the Ultimate, so this might come, my favorite version comic of Spider-Man is the Ultimate Spider-Man. I have every single trade. I've read it multiple times, that entire run up until when he dies, multiple times.
He does come back. Just so you're aware. So well, you could continue on now.
I could go skip ahead and be like,
or you could just read it knowing that he comes back so you get the whole story.
Yeah.
Because again, he comes back. So just to put that out there. Anyway, Miles is a little different. He is, his uncle is the Prowler, and that's how he ends. He essentially gets his spider powers that way. So the Prowler breaks into Oscorp, and one of the spiders like goes into his duffel bag, and when Miles goes to visit him, the spider comes out and bites Miles, and that's how he gets the powers. And he also has two unique powers over the rest of the spider people. He has the ability to clone, so he camouflage, not clone.
But was the same spider too, right?
I don't think it was the same.
No, one. That was genetically modified.
Silk was the one.
Silk
got bit by the same spider. So yeah, he can camouflage himself, so essentially go invisible, and he also has a stinger, so he has like a shock that he gives
you when he hits you. That's pretty
cool. Yeah, so those are the two unique aspects to Miles. And Miles is cool because he's an up-and-coming Spider-Man. Like, I love Miles in the Spider-Man PS4 game. I love Miles in that.
Organic or non-organic web shooters?
Not organic. He has actual web shooters.
He actually used Peter's for a while.
So that's Miles. Let's now talk about Spider-Gwen, because she's probably the third biggest in the movie. So Spider-Gwen, also known as Spider-Woman, also known as Ghost Spider now,
Ghost Spider.
which is the worst of the names.
I like that.
I do not. I'll take
Ghost Spider and Kid Arachnid. Cool names.
Kid Arachnid is growing on me. Kid Arachnid I hated with a fiery passion, but...
What are the odds of Peter calling Miles Kid Arachnid in the movie?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty chance.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I don't think they
do in the cartoon.
I don't think they'll call her Ghost Spider, though. Well, maybe they do because of the cartoon coming out, the Marvel Rises, or Rising.
Yeah, she's Ghost Spider in that, and her new series just launched, and it's called Ghost Spider.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so in an alternate universe, she gets bit by the radioactive spider, or the modified spider, and Peter is her nerdy neighbor who has a crush on her, very similar to the, it's like the reverse of the Gwen Stacy Spider-Man story. Oh, weird fact about the Peter Parker version in this movie, there is no Gwen Stacy in his world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which,
so he never killed her?
Yeah. So, which I was kind of hoping for that, like...
That's why he didn't know who it was.
That moment
where he sees the woman he killed and loved.
Yeah. Well, I get why they got rid of it, because she's like a teen, and he's like a 40-year-old man. That would have been really awkward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would have been weird. They could have pulled it off. If you handled that scene delicately, you could pull it off, but that could get weird. So, I get why they did it, but I didn't think
about him being 40, because... That would have been an awesome scene, him like seeing
her
alive.
So Gwen, in that world, Peter Parker turns himself into the Lizard and she actually kills him.
Yeah.
Her story is a little darker than Pete's, because in the beginning, she's a little darker. She's not your normal Spider-Man. So the way that that's how she learns great power comes great responsibility, because she goes out and she does some, we'll say, less than savory things. And her father says, you know, I really hope Spider-Woman does something good for the world. And that was the moment that's her great power becomes a great responsibility scene.
By unsavory, like...
She's an asshole. That's all.
All right.
I mean, I'm not saying she's going around, like, decapitating people, but she, you know, she definitely killed Pete.
And she's in a rock band?
Yeah, she's in a rock band with Mary Jane.
It's called the Mary Janes.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, she's the drummer. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
My niece loves Spider-Gwen. Loves her. Like, that's her favorite thing in the world right now.
It just sounds like a spider version of Josie and the Pussycats right now.
Sure. Look, if my niece is into Spider-Man, I'm so about it.
Can you do that one more time? One more time.
Yeah, so there you go. Those are your big three. Those are your three heavy hitters in the movie, right? I feel like because it's noir and because Nicolas Cage is the one who's voicing him, that Baby Huey should talk about Spider-Man noir.
So.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Mauer. Go ahead.
You mean my favorite actor playing my favorite Spider-Man?
No, yes. Not him at all.
That's why. Go.
So, Spider-Man noir. In this, looks like they're changing him up a little bit. He is from the 20s or 30s. He uses guns. He is a detective. If you ever watched any of those old noir movies, you have Spider-Man noir like right in there. So there's the femme fatale of Mary Jane in it, where she might or may not be. Okay, Minty just made the weirdest face ever. I don't know what he was doing, but he threw me off.
I noticed. Look at you. He's shambles.
But he's a reporter, so instead of being a photographer for the newspaper, he's an investigative reporter back in 1933. So
he's also a lot tougher.
Yes.
He's not normal Pete.
He's like anything.
Yeah, he's like, I love when you first see the Goblin in that book.
Yes.
And when he first meets Norman Osborn in that
Well, he's violent. He's taken the war on crime, one man war on crime, just...
Yeah, but he throws the drink in his face, like, immediately. Like, he's not your average Pete.
No, because he's not a pushover. He's used to being the guy trying to, you know, find the scoop and dealing with all that crime and living in that area. His uncle Ben was his mentor, and Ben Urich has a big, you know, influence on him in this.
Real big influence.
So it's really cool seeing that side of
Peter
Parker.
He also didn't get... like spider powers in the average way. So like it was
well, he's got the organic webbing.
Well, so what he gets bit by a spider that was in a vase, right? So it was like an Egyptian thing where it was a spider god. And then when he gets bit by the spider, it gives him spider powers, turning him into the Spider-Man. So
like Egyptian powers like Moon Knight?
Not really, because Moon Knight might not have powers. He definitely does.
That's true.
But he's also unique because can't he not stick to walls?
He can, but they have to be like
flat
walls. Like, it's not as advanced as what we see some of the Spider-Man. Some of the cool things that he has is like his costume is what he wears normally. So like the jacket and all that he wears, he just takes off the mask and like it's normal dress wear for him. We were just talking in the last issue, the Rocketeer. Like, it very much always felt to me like I could have the Shadow and the Rocketeer right next to Spider-Man Noir. It's just a cool way to see. And from what we're hearing, Nicolas Cage in this role is phenomenal.
Well, and what's interesting about Spider-Man Noir too is that my first time with Spider-Man Noir was in that Shattered Dimensions game.
Okay.
So I didn't originally read the comic. I played that game, and what was interesting about that game is his world opposed to everybody else. He had Spider-Man 2099, who I hope makes a cameo. Then you have Spider-Man Noir. Then you have Ultimate Spider-Man, but when he was in the black suit.
Yeah.
And then you had Amazing Spider-Man. And they all had different looks and appeals to their worlds, but what was unique about Spider-Man Noir it was very stealth.
Yes.
That whole game was, his section was to not be seen and to web everybody up. Like that was the game for him.
Hmm.
So everybody else was like high octane action. And then you move to Spider-Man Noir and it's all hush hush. Right. And it gave this sense of almost like Batman-ish.
You know what? Maybe that's why I really liked him, because it was just Batman, Spider-Man.
Kinda in the Prohibition era.
Yeah, but then you had, what was it, Black Cats?
The Speakeasy?
Speakeasy.
Yeah, Felicia Harding had a speakeasy called the Black Cat. And then Norman Osborn was a gangster called the Goblin.
Yeah, and he kills the Goblin dies.
But it's like Uncle Ben didn't die from like a car, like a gunshot. Didn't he get like, that's a good way to word it.
He was mangled.
Yeah, mangled. That's a good word. Yeah, he died horrifically.
Yeah, and you know, so you had violence, like they really played heavily on the gangster violence of the 30s and ramped everything up where you don't see Pete as this innocent teenager. He is that menacing, like creating fear around him. It's almost like it's not Spider-Man, it's Black Suit Spider-Man in the 30s.
Yeah, he's uber dark.
He's angrier, he's stronger, he's violent, he's willing to kill.
Yeah, uses guns.
it's vengeance. He is pure vengeance, and you know, it's the black suit, it's the symbiote.
So when you look at this movie, when you look at Into the Spider-Verse, and you're like, wow, you're putting Noir in there, how does he fit? Like, if I was going to make that movie, I don't think I would have picked Noir. I think I would have put 2099 in, just because I think it would fit better, and it would work as far as tone.
But putting Noir in it, you're getting me interested in watching it.
Sure, but I don't think I don't think they're like, you know who we need to get?
Mauer.
But if you think about it, you are probably already getting the 2099 fans just with Miles and some of the other characters. Like, that's kind of, they're gonna like it for the Peter.
Yeah, but even then, like old man Spider-Man in the that cool jacket and the boots. I mean, there's other variations that have a little bit more color and a little, like, he's so off the beaten path of what Peter Parker is that, and maybe that's the kind of juxtaposition that they want.
I think they're going to play him more goofy, dark.
I don't think it'll be goofy at all.
Well, not
goofy,
but he's going to be kind of like a man out of
fish out of water.
Like, he's going to be Captain America.
It'll be darker than that.
Darker, but it's a guy from the 30s in the future.
He will be like just no nonsense.
I think that's exactly what he'll be. Yeah. He'll be extreme. Like, having him and Peter Parker is going to be weird.
That's going to be awesome.
You know what I mean?
Like, he's going to shoot at Peter Parker.
I doubt that. Although if you shot it, I mean, here's the thing with, so we might as well get into Peter Parker. Here's the thing with Spider-Ham is it's cartoon physics do apply. So yeah. Like, you can crush him with a piano and nothing happens.
Even outside of his dimension?
Yeah, because it's him. It's like slapstick or the mask. You know what I mean? So, because he's a cartoon at the end of the day. All right, so Peter Porker, let's break this down. He came out in 1988, and Peter Porker...
I'm going to take a break now.
He was... what's the word? Anthropomorphic?
Sure.
I think that's the word.
Yeah.
Animals that are people. It's anthropomorphic. I think that's the word. We'll anyway, he... it's back then, they as comics were starting to get darker, like especially with the death of Gwen Stacy and stuff, they wanted to make a line of comics for kids, especially younger kids. So they made cartoon animal versions of all of the major characters. So you had like Captain America, for example.
Wow.
You had Iron Mouse, which just looked like Iron. It looked like Mickey Mouse with Iron Man suit. You know, there's a whole bunch of them. Think of any character you think of. There was a was it Goose Rider instead of Ghost Rider?
And I believe. Because they did the Thor as a frog, they put that frog
Throg
into that universe as well.
So the origin of Peter Porker is very funny to me because he's not actually a pig. At the end of the day, Peter Porker is a spider, an actual spider, who was bitten by a radioactive Aunt May, Aunt May Porker, and then transforms into a pig from being a spider.
Comics.
Especially anthropomorphic pig.
Okay, so then he's just a pig, and he has like no real tie to Aunt May.
Aunt May then like passes out, and then wakes up, and then just is like, "Oh, Peter, you're here," and just kind of like adopts him as her nephew.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's really weird.
So as you were talking, it made me think of the trailer, and when they're on the ceiling moving together, Peter Porker is literally like under Spider-Man Noir's armpit. So I have a feeling they're going to have that kind of rocket, you know, buddy cop.
I would say, you know what? It's going to be Johnny Storm and Thing.
Yes.
That's what it's going
to
be.
One's going to be joking around. The other one's just want to hit him the whole time.
Yep. That's exactly what it's going to be. Cause you know, he's going to be the comic relief. How do you have Peter Porker and not be the comic relief?
Yeah, true.
And he has all your Spider-Man powers. I mean, He is a Spider-Man through and through, and he played a huge role in both the Spider-Verse and Spider-Gwen. Like he's a person who grabbed a lot of the characters and brought them into the fold. So he's been around for a while. He's not a nobody character.
Great.
He's fun.
He is fun.
It's just a fun character.
I don't like fun.
No, you don't.
Really, Darkwing Duck?
Stay away from Darkwing.
I put Peter Porker up with Darkwing.
Whoa.
I do.
Baby Huey.
I like Peter Porker more than Darkwing because I didn't grow up watching Darkwing like you guys did. It's true. It's true. Don't at me. What's up?
You're going to let him talk about Darkwing that way?
He didn't watch Darkwing. He can't.
Darkwing is so much cooler.
Dude, you know what I would love? Like a Ninja Turtles crossover with Peter Porker? I would take that.
80s Turtles?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That was like the campiness of that.
Exactly. Exactly. Wouldn't you? Yes, you would.
That'd be fun.
Yes, you would.
The turtles with Darkwing would be awesome.
Turtles with Darkwing would be awesome.
Throw a little Howard in there.
The ducks.
Yo, what if they go to like his world and Howard's there? Because they'll probably pop into everybody's world just so you can see or give. They have to give you some kind of a breakdown of who these people are. So you're going to see Peter Porker's world.
And Howard's just there in a chair.
Although Howard shouldn't be there because he comes from an entirely different dimension where ducks reign supreme. So
we'll make it work.
Make it happen.
Still would be cool to just see him there. Even like the Contest of Champions armor, that weird robot thing. Yeah. That'd be all cool. Right. All right. So then the last one is Penny Parker, who's the newest of all of them.
Yeah.
And Penny Parker is... Penny Parker is anime. Not anime. She's manga. So she's from the mangaverse. There is a manga Spider-Man. Manga? Did I say it? Did I say it right?
Tomato?
Manga,
I don't know.
Manga, whatever.
That crap features reads.
It's the one you got to read backwards.
And upside down.
Backwards?
Yeah, it does, you don't read it left to right.
You read right to left, down to up. You got to like cry.
I've never read one. So like,
you got to cry while you're reading it.
None of that stuff's true. He's just being an ass now. Coming from the guy who likes the Guyver. Anyway. So Penny is unique because Penny does not have any spider powers whatsoever.
She's just a little girl.
So as we saw in the trailer, Penny was the one who had that little robot with her. Now in the comics or in the mangas, it's a much bigger suit. But essentially her father was the Spider-Man. And what happened was is the spider bites him and he becomes connected mentally with this spider who is in the suit. So the spider is actually part of the suit. And the spider makes this like this link, this mental link with you. And it's very much like
wait, so just so I'm following along. Like the regular Spider-Man suit or like the armor?
No, the armor. Inside that armor is the spider. And that spider is when you it bites you to create the connection and accepts you as a host. So it bites her dad. Her dad can get into it. And with the spider, very much like Pacific Rim, where they had the two people driving, but the other person driving is the spider. So the spider and...
So the whole reason why they're there is so you can split them and wackiness ensues.
I don't know. She just... All I know is outside the suit, she's not doing much. But inside the suit, she's not...
So the spider then bit her?
So after her father dies, Aunt May and Uncle Ben convince her that she should be the next Spider-Woman. So the spider bites her, accepts the link, and then now she becomes the next Spider-Woman. Inside this, it's like SP-DR, something like that.
SP/SDR.
So she's Spider. Okay.
So, and then, like, in her world, there's a Venom suit. You know what I mean? So there's, is it Addie Brock?
So it's Pacific Rim meets Spider-Man?
Well, it's any of those mech robot suit animes.
Okay.
Think of all those mech suits.
So does she fight the Japanese TV show?
She should, but no, the Japanese TV show that is way bigger.
That's like a Megazord compared to...
Yeah, she's like, it's like 10 foot tall.
Oh, okay.
Or 10 feet tall, 10 foot.
So she's like that...
10 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot, bump.
Daylight come and I want to go home.
That.
Me said that.
You said that.
Me said that. Oh. Daylight come and me want to go home.
We're just stretching out time because we're talking about them all. Yeah, Beetlejuice is awesome. So, yeah, that's the only reason I know that song.
So we talked about the characters. We do, I feel, owe it to our fans to talk about one more thing.
Mm.
To prepare themselves for what they are going to see in this film. Because baby Huey's not ready for it. So I feel... that we should have other people but not be ready.
What the hell are you talking about?
Stan Lee is in this movie.
Oh, come on.
And the producers said it's more than his just normal cameo. They wanted to give him something with more of a role, more of a bite. So it might be a few lines, it might be some, but they said they feel it is the biggest cameo he's ever had.
I'm not ready for that. I mean, I was just telling you guys, I saw the Wreck-It Ralph movie and they had him in it. He didn't say anything, but just having him in it, I was like, ugh.
So.
You know what? Put him in everything. Just do it. Just put him in everything. He's the cameo king.
He is.
Let that. I hope that's something that his face just pops up in every movie. Might as well. You know what? We'll get used to it. And we'll go, yeah, you know what? There's Stan.
So was there a dedicated Stan Lee at the end of Wreck-It Ralph?
No, there wasn't.
So will this be the first like dedicated to Stan Lee thing? Do you think?
Most likely.
Yeah, he's getting a whole send-off. I mean, that's...
All right, so I'm not going to see this movie in theaters.
Oh, I am, I'll cry right along with everybody else.
Will they hand out tissues? Did you see the little pins they gave out at the Hollywood premiere for it? So it was this little black pin, like a little rectangle, with just sans tinted glasses.
Oh, man.
So...
Look, the movie looks fun. I'm going to enjoy it. I think I'm going to enjoy it. Who am I kidding? I like everything. It's going to be.
Give it to Menti. He likes everything.
Except for the comic. If it's anything like the comic, I'm out.
It's not going to be like the comic.
Menti storms up. Beep you!
Oh, I'd be furious.
It's out.
Throw my popcorn at the screen with my shoe in it.
I'm still trying to get a little used to the animation. Like sometimes it's cool, and then sometimes you get a still picture of some of the animation, the pixelated stuff in it.
Yeah, it's a little choppy. But
it looks like a comic book, but
it's stylized.
Yeah,
you'll get used to
it. Yeah, because it cuts in between the styles.
You'll get used to it. Trust me. You're sitting there. Look, if we can get used to the Lego movie, we'll be fine.
I'm just the villains in it look awesome. We have that cool looking Scorpion. Goblin looks awesome. Kingpin looks cool, and then we just found out Tombstone's in it. So
we'll see how Kingpin looks. Here's the problem with Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin.
Yeah,
nobody will live up.
No.
When Kingpin showed up in the PS4 game, I was like, you're not Vincent D'Onofrio. Get off my screen.
He was like decent.
No, he's not. Decent. Well, okay. Decent isn't great. And Vincent D'Onofrio is great.
And on that note, Menti, do that thing.
All right, you can find the show Welcome to Fireside anywhere online, welcometofireside.com. If you like the show, please, by all means, goes a long way. The support, share, comment, like. Once again, I'm Menti.
I'm Baby Huey.
And I'm Mr. Mauer. Don't forget to check us out on the OG Podcast Network. That's OGPodcastNetwork.com or the app.
The app. That's so anticlimactic. We got to have something. This is
Excelsior.
That one.